You just put people into the relaxed state, and then using a bridge, which can be an emotion, a symptom, or something like that, a metaphor of a time machine, an elevator, you can take people back into the past by saying things like, now we're going to go back into the past or past life where your symptom originally formed, or we're going to go into this elevator and you push buttons, or go through these doors. One is to the 18th century, to the 12th century, just to see if you're there. You can do the same thing into the future. You can go into the future of this life or into future lives. And I can bring people, for example, to the year 2500 or 3000 or beyond. Much harder to document this, to validate future, because in the way that time works on the earth, it's harder to prove it. We have to seem to wait and to get the validation. In past lives, you can validate those much more quickly, of course. And I've done this with thousands and thousands of people, the progressions, the going into the future over the past 26 years. But I haven't been writing about it until more recently, because just writing about past lifetimes has been controversial enough.
Any patients, you don't have to give us names, that have gone into the future, and what do they say?
Oh, thousands. I just was doing this with a group of therapists last week up at Omega Institute, doing it as a group, teaching this course, bringing 125 people into the future. Usually what I do is hand out questionnaires or things like that so I can get the answers to certain questions to look for commonalities.
All right.
Or to look for cohesion or concordance. It's amazing. The most agreement is on the far future, at the year 3000 or after.
What do they agree to?
More than 80% are seeing a very idyllic place. Again, this is much harder to prove. It's
sure.
Just a statistical correlation. Now, a very idyllic place, very green, but some areas of the earth seem to be off limits for repair. The most common finding of all, and this is no matter in what country I'm doing this, progressing people, is that the population seems to be much reduced at that time. Now, people are communicating telepathically. There seems to be no illness. They're happier. They're living in smaller communities, closer to nature. Not in these large urban centers like now, but the population is much reduced. Now, how we get there seems to be still a matter of choice. Will it be something violent like wars or viruses or something or whatever, something less violent like a conscious choice to have fewer children or a decline in the fertility rate? Or perhaps people at that time don't need bodies anymore, so fewer people are reincarnating here on the earth, because it turns out that there are many, many places where souls exist. This is not the only place.
It's
not the only school.
Do they ever talk about a calamity? I mean, do they know history when they go back? When they go into the future, do they understand or do they recall history from, let's say, this period through 3000? Are they aware of things?
They are. And there's some, again, agreement, correlation in the groups. But the least correlation I'm getting, even though the far future, it's more than 80%, which is amazing to me. I did not expect that. In the closest one, 150 to 200 years, we're still here. More of the same. We didn't find the huge calamity that wipes us all out. There are wars. There are problems. There's more pollution. There's a lot of stuff happens, but people are still here. But something happens in that middle period, about 500 years from now, that causes this population decline. And the feeling that I'm getting is it's not decided yet. It can go lots of different ways because the future does not seem to be absolutely fixed. It seems to be a system of probabilities and possibilities. And our choices now are determining the future that will happen. And we have a probable future if it keeps going the way that it seems to be going. But we can change that. And that's what I'm finding. Certainly at an individual level, you can change your future, but I'm talking now globally.
Do they ever talk about an asteroid strike or anything like that in the future?
Something happens in that middle period. And it's
but you don't know what?
I don't know what. At some point in time, in the far future, which is 3,000, 1,000 years from now or more, it doesn't seem to matter. People can come into bodies and out of bodies. The population is much reduced. But even if there is an asteroid strike, there are many other places. And now I'm talking about things that may be physical places like galaxies or star systems, but also non-physical dimensions too where souls can exist. But the confusing thing here to me is that, and I'm not a physicist, is that, although I'm starting to hear from physicists, is that there are many futures. And there are futures that are going on even as we live this one. So if there's an asteroid strike on the Earth, there are many multiverses where, or clones of this type of our lives, where an asteroid strike does not take place.
So in these parallel universes, our existence continues.
It does. We never die. And that's, I think, more a reflection of our basic nature, that we're souls and not bodies. We're in these bodies now, but this is not who we really are. And that's how we can change bodies. We're really souls, and that's the spiritual essence. And we exist in many dimensions even now, even though most of our consciousness is limited to this one. So that's where it gets fascinating to me, because what I'm finding in my work as a psychiatrist and doing this type of research, clinical research, and regressing people to past lives or taking them to future lives, is that a lot of physicists are confirming this in their work with string theory and cosmology. We're really saying the same thing, but maybe using slightly different words.